Thank you to our sponsor, EJ Cards, a small but motivated company specializing in cards. EJ Cards believe passionately in great bargains and excellent service, which is why they commit themselves to give you the best of both. If you're looking for something new, you're in the right place. EJ Cards strive to be industrious and innovative, offering customers something they want, putting their desires at the top of the priority list. Find EJ Cards at www.ejcards.com.au.
Welcome, everybody, to the You Can't Comp This NBA Trading Card Podcast. We're your hosts, Adam, Amy, and Russell Gibson. Russell, you're in Boston still?
Awesome. Yeah.
Hostile territory for me. We're playing the Celtics on Christmas Day, so.
Man, American people get such a bad rap. They're so polite. So polite.
Really?
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Like, the easiest and the best example is on the train. Every single time we've hopped onto a train, people have stood up to let the kids sit down. Every time.
Is it because you're an Aussie?
No, because we just walk on the train and they just see the kids and they stand up. It's a really, I would actually say they're more polite than Aussies.
Wow. Okay. Heard it here first.
It's this weird dichotomy of, you know, the whole sort of social media and media expectation versus reality. They're very friendly, polite people. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Bit surprising, actually. Cool.
It is. It's confronting. How about yourself? What have you been up to, man?
Not a lot. I'm finished work for the year. So looking forward to a little bit of rest and relaxation, mainly. Maybe flicking through some cards. I went and picked up my Christmas present a couple of days ago from our friend of the show, Matt Yuga. I got myself a couple of cases. So I went down and met him at Cherry and picked up my card cases. So, yeah. I'll be geared up for the next trade show trade day we go to.
Did you get the 3-row one or the 1-row one?
I got both. Got one of each. One to keep my card, the bulk of it in, and one to take down to, I don't know, the next EJ's trading day. Yeah.
Is it one good for your special cards and one for your traders? Is that what you're thinking?
Yeah, pretty much. One to just store my cards in general, and then one to put some trades and stuff so I can transport it around when I do go to trade days and whatnot. Shows, yeah.
Looking forward to having a look at it myself, actually, now.
And then I'm looking to, I might be dabbling in a couple of packs from you know, other friends of the show using promo codes. You know what? Treat myself. Have a You Can't Cop This Christmas.
Are we talking about Angman?
Yes. I'm
hoping to get something good out of it, man.
Right. Yeah, well,
should we jump in?
Anyway, we're back to the show. Enough about my Christmas. You're over in Boston. Should we get into the news first cab off the rank? Because it's Christmas.
I think we just jump straight into it, man. Let's just talk about Anthony Edwards and his very public social media outing. So we're not going to go into all the details on this just for our junior listeners at home, but for our more adult people, if you'd like to jump onto Instagram and go to @dreampage, and Page is spelled P-A-I-G-E. This is the young lady that Edwards allegedly has begun a friendship with. And if you would like to go onto Twitter and follow @NickIsWashed, and that's just as you would normally spell it, you'll be able to see all of the screenshots that Dream Page posted about their recent goings-on. So basically, I think the thing that we can report is his $100,000 payment to her essentially is...
Yeah.
It's like hush money, isn't it? It's more support.
It's an arrangement of sorts. How's that?
Yeah. Look, I think when I first saw this, what I was wondering about, and, you know, you really touched on this when we were off the air, was, you know, is this like another Josh Giddey thing? And And I don't think it is. I think because this topic is such a sensitive thing, there's no mainstream media that would, you know, ever put this up in a million years. And I think probably as such, the regular collector isn't going to be, you know, influenced or affected by this. So I don't see any reason why his pricing should. But I think, you know, maybe from a more positive point of view, you know, this year, I think he's having, you know, one of the best seasons. Let me rephrase that. He is having one of the best seasons of his career.
For sure.
Yeah, some of the things that I was probably concerned about the Wolves being able to do was like him being able to handle the ball well enough to, you know, find space. And he's definitely doing that. And also his 3-point shooting, which is probably something that is, you know, less of one of my worries.
Yeah.
And the Wolves have just got a, you know, a fantastic record at the moment. You know, there's some power rankings that have got the Wolves at number one. I think that's a little bit sort of clickbaity and, you know, that. I think the agencies that are doing that are just doing it, you know, to sort of generate conversation. But, you know, there is an argument to be made, you know, defensively they are exceptional. They've definitely worked out how to hide Karl Anthony Towns. I think that's a very polite way of saying it. And then the rest of the team has just really come together well. And that's not something I think, again, being honest, I didn't see that happening in any capacity at all. I felt like I was more waiting for them to trade Karl Anthony Towns or trade Gobert and sort of try and recoup back some of the assets that they, you know, did send away to get Gobert. So
my big question with the Wolves at the moment is how sustainable is it? And at the moment, we'll see. I guess it's going well.
Kind of the interesting thing at the moment is you talk about sustainability. They're not the only team because we went through this, you know, huge trend of everybody downsizing. And I think there is, you know, I think the Wolves obviously did it in the most profound way in terms of, you know, doubling down and, you know, running two big guys. But the other team that comes to mind too is the Brooklyn Nets.
And then, okay, yep.
I suppose there's not a heap of teams doing it, but maybe the other team you could say that's running two big guys at the moment is the Spurs. That's probably the other one. But I think probably the Spurs, back of the mind, think is more to protect Wembanyama and not sort of put him into situations where he's getting injured.
Yeah. Yeah, look, I definitely think that what the Timberwolves are doing is rather unique, and I think it's taken them well over a season to get it right. You know what I mean? Like last year, it seemed like they didn't know what they were doing, whereas this year it feels like they've sort of figured it out, and it's I don't know, they're up there at the top of the West, and it's impressive. It's impressive, and definitely you're right. Anthony Edwards is having an absolutely stellar season, working with it. So I don't know. Should we check in on prices for Mr. Edwards?
So literally. You took the word out of my mouth because I think if you look at the word stellar here and you look at his card pricing the last 3 months, it's anything but stellar. He's actually down 21%. And then looking at his 1 year,
crazy.
Which is, I probably think it's so weird, isn't it? It doesn't fit the narrative at all. I mean, if you look at the last 12 months, he's actually down 16%. So that for me is a really interesting one. And I'm just trying to think of some explanations, you know, for that. Is it the fact that he's playing so well, so people are just taking the opportunity to unload him?
Look, percentage-wise, we're not talking much. We're talking like he started around selling for around the 600 mark, and now he's selling for his last sale was, what, 530. So he's relatively steady in the last year. Do you know what I mean? Like it's not Jordan Poole's fall from 1,000 down to $200.
No, I think, yeah, but in the last, so take the last 12 months of data, he's down 16%. If you had have said to me doing a blind test over the last 12 months, is Anthony Edwards up 16% or down 16%, I would have said up. So that's probably where my mind is thinking at the moment. You know, why is he down? Look, and the simple answer might be that the price of an Anthony Edwards is $500. And now it's actually settled down at the price. It's really interesting the numbers where cards seem to settle down. I feel like there is that sort of like the 250
there's a
ceiling.
Point.
Then there's the, then there's the 400 ceiling. And then, you know,
the
there's
thresholds.
The
yeah, so, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
Maybe.
I've got a couple of theories on other variables. And
I
could be wrong, but we've just had like, Hoops has dropped. So the new wave has come out And everyone's focus is getting their hands on those Wemby rookies, right? Is it the early in the new year we start to see people respecting cards that aren't hot and new and starting to look to buy stuff? Like, there's different stages of the season where the success of the early success of the Timberwolves isn't recognized until later on if it's maintained. So the eyes are on Edwards now, and if it continues, then the price goes up. Like, then people jump on board. I don't know.
Maybe
we need to ask an expert like Josh Faruja and understand how the Faruja factor works. God, it's confusing. But it is. Like, he's doing well, and it's not being reflected in prices.
It is confusing. Yeah. And part of it might just be that the market is down, and it's, you know, it's as simple as that. And, you know, that's part of it. But I think for someone who's this season averages 24.6 points, 5 rebounds, 5.1 assists, and his shooting numbers are pretty good.
Yeah.
Look, I'm really struggling here to sort of
I have a so I suppose I, the real I question, have a well, I have a long-term question about this. This is probably my biggest question is, in 10 years from now, when this man's career is established, is this guy a $500 rookie card, or is he a $1,000 rookie card? And that's
excellent question. And
that's what we're really sort of, because we've talked about those ceilings. The pop count is nearly 1,500 on his PSA 10. So that might be a negative. But my question, my thought is that in that $800 to $1,000 range, if he continues on the trajectory that he's on.
Do you think this is a buy, hold, or sell right now? Where are you with that?
I'd be tempted to buy. I wouldn't be selling at this price. So if I had one, I'd be holding it, because I think he'll be higher in years to come. I don't think this is a flash in the pan.
You'd go out and spend $500 on one, though?
It wouldn't be my first call, but it wouldn't be... If it was there, it wouldn't be a definite no, if that makes sense. Do you know what I mean? Like, if I, there are other things I would spend that kind of money on, like without thought. But if other things that I wasn't, like that I wasn't chasing, wasn't on offer, and that was there, it'd be a consideration. It's definitely not off the table. In years to come, I think he's an investment. Team USA, current performance, I think his trajectory is headed in the right way, the right direction.
I 100% agree with that. And I think what you said is pretty much exactly what I'm going to say, but it's in a slightly different way. I think Anthony Edwards is a buy, but, you know, do I think that's the best way to spend your money on Edwards on a silver PSA 10? Because you did highlight the pop. Are you better off trying to get something that's maybe numbered as an autograph, or maybe even like a nice game-worn patch, or maybe like a jersey patch from his rookie year, even though the napkin patches? And that's sort of a separate, you know, conversation altogether. But, you know, getting that rookie logo, I think, does mean something. So,
all right, here's a question for you. Do you go and spend big money and spend $3,500 on a blue ice number to 125? Pop 17.
So if you've got the spend for it, maybe actually that's the better way to, you know, and start hunting around, you know, in auction houses, you know, trying to pick up something nice. Like, if he is on a bit of a downward, getting that numbered stuff.
Or see, because I love the. I mean, you don't really get a good color match on the Wolves, but we've got the fast break blue to 175, pop count of 33, last sold price of 1,263. I think that's an interesting buy. I would probably, if I had the liquidity, I would consider it very strongly. Especially considering the sale before that in November was $1,750. So
that's right. This next ad break is brought to you by Slambox, Australia's best value basketball repacks. Visit www.slambox.com.au to check out the latest series or join the Facebook page DJ's Trading Cards and message David directly. Slambox features big name autographs including Giannis, Zion, LaMelo, Banchero, Chet, Jar, Tatum, and more. Super short prints, case hits from a variety of different products, including National Treasures, Flawless, Noir, Immaculate, Impeccable, and more. Slambox has different tiered product levels to cater for all budget levels and collector preferences. Thank you, Slambox, for your support.
Mm.
So, Jar Morant is back. He is back.
He is.
He didn't waste a moment in
reminding the league
what he was before he left. And
yeah,
that's right. So, you know, I think hobby-wise, this is actually really important because I think it's pretty well established how much money people lost on Zion Williamson, sort of post the COVID bubble that burst. And then I think the concern that I had, you know, when I sort of saw all this, you know, going down was, you know, how much more money are people going to be, you know, losing on someone who I thought was actually probably a more conservative, but of better spend, frankly, because of, you know, how much hype and injury concern that there was with Zion. So, look, I think...
I'm looking at Jar at the moment, and I've been breaking down on Card Ladder. The only, like, he was down over the last year, he's down like almost 38% for his PSA 10. However, the last 6 months, he's up 10%. The last 3 months, he's up 20%. The last month, he's up 25%. And he's up 10% over the last 2 weeks. So have we reached the floor with Ja Morant, and is he back? Is this a time to buy? Is he a buy, a hold, or a sell? We've seen one game, right?
Like, I think the time to buy was a month ago, to be perfectly honest with you, because he definitely trended down quite a bit. And I think you can buy now, but I think you'll be seeing an uptick. So 35 minutes, 6 rebounds, 8 assists, 2 steals, 1 block, and 34 points.
To go with the game winner. Yeah.
That's keeping in mind he... That's right. And he must have had some rust on those hands, you know, coming back. Like, you don't take all the time off that he had and be all guns firing. Look, I'm not going to lie to you. I think this is amazing news. I think he's a very strong buy at the moment. And I think if you've been picking up Ja Morant while he's been suspended, you're not going to regret it. I think you've been doing, you know, I think you've done really, really well for yourself. And
for sure.
You just have to sort of, you know, maybe stick out the next 12 months to, you know, to 2 years, because I think the problem for me with the Grizzlies is that they're in such a deep hole at the moment. So they're 7-19.
Yep.
You're not expecting to get any postseason bump. You're not expecting to get any, you know, regular season awards with this guy because they've suspended him for basically, you know, the perfect amount of time so that he'll be excluded from any awards.
Yeah.
You know, how that affects him, you know, long term in terms of, you know, Hall of Fame numbers and stuff like that. Like,
I think one season is not going to take him
in sort of a 12 to 24 month window. I don't think this is.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, look, maybe this is actually the ultimate Ferrugia factor, isn't it? Where you are making that quick flip. But I just think realistically, to get your best yield, it's going to be a 24 month thing.
Yeah. I don't know. I think this season specifically, this season, Ja has got to be team first. My question is, can Ja Morant, A, turn this season around, and can he make his teammates, like those around him, that much better? That is his mission for the year. He's got to bring the positivity to that Grizzlies unit, because he started it by getting suspended, right? The injuries came after that. But now it's on him to keep everybody's spirits up and to make those around him better. I think Jaren Jackson will be better for it. This is a real test of Jar's character as a guard to really lead his team and lead by example. And now he can put everything he has, like if he can put all this nonsense behind him, and just he can really grow into a leader. This is an opportunity for Ja. And I think long term, I think this is the season that sort of dictates sort of where his career heads. Big words, I know.
So if you're looking at eighth place in the West at the moment, that's the Lakers at 15-12. So currently the Grizzlies are 7-19. So that's an 8 game.
Oh, they're miles behind.
And they'll have to make up. Look, I think
is the play in a good target?
So currently that's Phoenix at 14-13. But basically they'll have to win 12 games in a row to, you know, to be there. Look, I'm an optimist when it comes to Ja, and you know, I think I think a lot of him. I was going to say I think the world of him, but I think that's going a little bit too far. But
I think a lot of him. Yeah, yeah. Massive
deficit to make up. Yeah.
Yep. I don't think it's an easy job by any means.
What's this changed, man? Like, you look at the teams at the top up here. The Wolves at 20-5. The Thunder at 17-8. Like, those two teams.
Yeah.
The Wolves were hanging around, but those two teams weren't in the playoffs last year, and that effectively means two teams that made it last year aren't going to make it this year. You know what I mean? Like, that's a very simple math
situation. That's true. Yeah.
So, yeah.
I don't know. Well, it's good to see Jar back. That's my takeaway from that.
It's really
good to see him back. I mean, if you see Jar's at a good price, I'm definitely on the buy train. But I think that window is going to start closing, especially if Jar is going to put up numbers, serious numbers. So he might remind everyone why he was in the MVP conversations early last season before all the nonsense began.
Yes. All right, so a little bit of a local Boston story at the moment. So I've been to a few Boston art stores, and
yes,
I've just been not listening to people's conversations, but overhearing, and people are asking for Tatum autographs. Every single shop I've been to, people have been coming and asking for Tatum. But the thing that I've really noticed is how many people are wearing Jaylen Brown T-shirts and singlets in Boston. So I would probably say, look, people love Tatum. He gets the loudest cheer from the crowd. That's absolutely true. But I wonder if almost the people's choice is Tatum, is Jaylen Brown. So we'll talk about there. You wanted to do a little bit of player versus player. So we'll start with Jason Tatum. Silver PSA 10 last sold for $695. The pop on that is $833. So obviously, you know, much lower just for the fact that he's 17-18.
Look, it's not a high pop count given other players that have been sort of graded in from that season. Yeah.
No, I feel like you're more leaning towards Jaylen Brown though. So where are you at with Jaylen Brown?
Jaylen Brown, I think is the more interesting. I'm just bringing them up this everything up on the so Silver Prism PSA 10. All right, ready for this? Jaylen Brown 2016 ready. Silver Prism, population count of 274. So a third of Tatum. Last sold for $157.50. Surely not. Surely not.
I'm gonna say that's correct. And even if you look at some of the shorter press stuff, like there's a Starburst on there that sold for 107, so which is half
is
the
this,
pop count of the
is
silver.
Is this seriously underrated? Like the pop count is tiny compared to your Lucas, your Tatum's. Like, it's no Dame Lillard. It's not a pop count of 40 or 50, but it's less than 300. Is there an argument to be made that Brown is the value here? Or is he always going to be a number two?
I think someone can have hobby value being a number two. And
Scottie Pippen.
If they're going to win the championship, sure. If they're going to win the championship this year, they need him to play amazing. Like, it's as simple as that. Like, they're... Tatum's getting better. And that's the other thing I was leading to here is I think Jaylen Brown is getting better. And I can't, God forbid, what I'm about to say. I think Joe Mazzulla is actually becoming a better coach. And his rotations are excellent. That's the only word I can use for them. Because the one thing that they've been doing a lot of lately is making sure that either Tatum or Brown is on the court for 48 minutes. And look, this is something that, this is like the Bill Simmons thing where he talks about just coaches doing simple things correctly. And I think having, you know, one of your stars on the court at all times, it's like that's the ultimate like Bill Simmons rule, you know, and Mazzulla's doing that. He wasn't doing that previously. And it's one thing I've noticed about the Celtics is they really are giving their stars time to play together, which I think those two need to play together, but they're also giving them, you know, a little bit of breathing space. I think having Jaylen Brown lead the second unit is a really, really good idea. And then, you know, same as it's good to have him, you know, and they're doing his own thing. So look, you've actually spun me around a little bit on this because I was going to lead off and say, I think Tatum's a really good buy considering the low pop count and, you know, the price doesn't seem too bad and, you know, considering the fact of they're probably favourites to win it all this year. But, yeah, looking at that, I think in terms of, you know, value and, you know, potentially something getting a bigger percentage bump. I think Jaylen Brown is, you know, where you're at.
Yeah, Jaylen, like, oh, just the prices in general, right? Because I remember we were talking a lot about Tatum last season, and I am very, very interested in, do people in Boston not like basketball cards? Because in the last year, Tatum is down almost 50%, and Brown's down over 50%. Like,
Hard Vault, they had sections that were only Celtics cards. Jeez. People in Boston are very, very Boston proud. So I would say,
interesting. Interesting.
Yes,
I just,
yes, they love their Celtics and their Celtics cards.
That's interesting. Cause yeah, look, start, like, I mean, and back earlier in the year, we were talking about Tatum at that $1,000 ceiling. Like that, sorry, $1,300 was the starting price back in January this year. This is before, like, last season, Celtics are running into the playoffs and all the rest. Like, Tatum was around the $1,000 to $1,200 to $1,300 mark. And now, less than $700 US, surely that's a buy for Tatum. Like, it just seems undervalued. Like, we're talking about, would you spend money on Anthony Edwards? And $160 US for a silver prism Jaylen Brown? Bizarre.
We do talk about this, but maybe this is something that we don't talk about enough. Like, maybe we're missing the point here. The point isn't that this card is undervalued or overvalued, or it's Jason Tatum and he's playing really well and then most likely going to win the championship. Is this simply about the fact that the economy is changing and people are taking their money out of cards and putting it into utilities or their mortgage now? Like, I think, how can I say this? I think we have to at least acknowledge that could be having some impact on what we're seeing here, because.
But there are players we're looking that are going up in these short periods of time. And I'm seeing stars like Tatum and Brown going down.
That's right. And there's not a good explanation for that, though, in my mind.
Yeah. I don't get it. That's what I mean. Like, that's why I was legitimately curious. Like, are people in Boston just not interested in basketball cards at the moment? Because these prices are going down. Whereas you've got Ja Morant, who's up 20% over the last 6 months. Or is that he's already hit the floor in different circumstances? Like, star players are on the decline because they're turning over. People are flipping to, like, trying to sell for economic reasons, not for gains, for necessity.
Ja has had a large fall, though. So I think, yes,
true,
he has
true.
Had
That's
some
a different
growth. But he's also had, like, you know, he's fallen off like quite a fair bit.
But like
too,
Anthony,
you know?
Anthony Edwards hasn't dropped that much. Like 50%, nearly 50% drop is, and Boston are killing it at the moment. Like, and yeah, obviously there's an on-flow effect that happens in our hobby. It's not instant. It's not a tear of 10 games and then all of a sudden Jason Tatum's are worth $2,000. I guess we're familiar with the crazy spikes. But the slow burn, I guess we're back to the slow burn where things just tick along and simmer before the card prices. Yeah.
Can happen too is, like, people can get cold feet. So they see cards dropping and they unload them. And that can also, like, you know, self-perpetuate and, you know, continue that sort of problem. But, yeah, I mean, that could definitely be part of it. Look, I think the real question is the buy, hold, and sell. And I think, so for me, I'm happy to stay with Tatum at the moment. I'm not jumping on. I'm not jumping off. But I think Jaylen Brown, I think, is a very strong buy because I think for me, I'm really betting on that sort of, you know, lower end, but also too, I'm betting on that team success of the Celtics. And I think that actually, I'll let you do your buy, holds, and sells. And then I think we'll lead into our next segment because
I was going to say it leads perfectly. It actually the perfect segue. Yeah. Yeah, look, I would buy both at the moment. Yeah, the final thing I'll look at because we all know how much I love it. I keep checking in with it. All right.
The green. Talk to us, man.
The green Tatum is now up almost 23%. Last sold for $3,200. That's a spike, right, by the way. But there is a Jaylen Brown green. Last sold for $307. But it was selling for around the $600 to $700 mark up until that. So this is a could be a an anomaly in November because there was a sale in October for 650. So it's around that 650, 700 mark for the Jaylen Brown Green Prism PSA 10. Pop count on that one is 65. And the pop count on the Tatum is 179. So I don't know. It's interesting numbers. And look, I don't know how much you've explained Boston. People love their cards. I wonder how much they love their color matches. But yeah. Yeah, I think they're both buyers at the moment.
We have a new sponsor supporting the show. It is The Bang Man, who is a new startup and have been operating since June this year, delivering a variety of hobby packs in a single box at an affordable price. So far, they've delivered some huge hits. The biggest one they've pulled so far is a Steph Curry Signatures Gold Auto to 10, which came out of the July edition. Some comps have been rounded up to about 15k AUD, which was verified by Card Letter. So if you're not familiar with what the Bang Man is and what their product is offering, it's basically an assortment of hobby packets put into a box at an affordable buy, and you can then open a variety of different hobby packs. Some of the advantages of buying into a product such as this is that you can sample a whole bunch of different products. Another way to think of it is doing your own break at home. The advantage of the Bang Man's product is you are purchasing sealed, unsearched hobby packs as opposed to a single card repack product that has a huge range in value. Just to make the clear delineation between the Bang Man's product and any traditional repack, when you buy into a Bang Man product, you are getting the guarantee of the Panini seal, and then all of the hits then come out of sealed products. So all the numbered cards, if appropriate for the product, rookie patch autographs, signature cards, and of course those super short prints and case hits. Another key point for the Bang Man product is that they have an assortment of different hobby packs in a custom box at two different price points, one being a gold edition and the other being a silver edition. Each month, the Bang Man changes up the pack so it's not the same constant lineup. For listeners of our podcast, we have an exclusive deal for you. Use promo code YouCan'tComp This to get a $15 discount off your next purchase. Find the Bang Man on Instagram, the.bang.man, and on Facebook, The Bang Man. Thank you so much, Amir and Team Bang Man.
Shall we move on to the next segment, very poetically?
Yes, I think. Just to sort of lead this in, so this next segment is about the best third options in the league. And where this really came from was I went and saw the Celtics play the other night. We had seats were pretty much the third row from the back, but we were right in the middle. So it's a really well-designed stadium. You know, actually, the visibility was excellent. So we had a fantastic time. I couldn't get over how good Kristaps Porzingis was as a third option, like in terms of his skill set, shooting, rebounding. He did enough sort of passing and dribbling to keep the other team honest. And I just think I'm just really struggling at the moment when other teams pick up really good pieces, basically for pocket change. I think turning Time Lord into Porzingis is just an absolute heist.
And that's crazy, isn't it?
It's just crazy. Yeah. And I think he bounces off those two other guys just so, so well. So I think, you know, what I wanted to talk to you about was, who are the best, you know, three man, you know, in the league? So I think let's do a really quick price check into Porzingis. And this is someone that we've spoken about in the past. I'm quite high on this guy in terms of his hobby value, just for the fact that I think he is quite undercooked in a lot of ways. And look, I think part of that is, you know, who he is as a player and all that type of stuff. Like, I get that, but I also think at some point, you know, people are super talented, and this guy too, he went from a situation which was not fantastic for him, and I actually can't think of a better situation for this guy. So his silver rookie PSA 10 is currently trading at $180. If you look at his last 1 year of data, he has gone up and down, you know, dramatically. So he was down to $52 at one point.
He looks like an American theme park, he does.
Yeah. And the high in the last 12 months is 200. And if you're looking at the growth in the last 12 months, he's up 89%. So, look, you know, you can make the argument, you know, we had talked about this guy previously, so, you know, you might have bought it the last time we had that conversation. You know, would I be recommending this as a strong buy at the moment? Look, probably not, to be honest, just for the fact that you know, he hasn't moved up so much in the last 12 months.
Yeah.
Would I say sell at the moment? Definitely not. I would say hold, because he actually might slip up just a little bit more, you know, as the Celtics move through the season. So,
for sure.
Yeah.
Well, so you put it to our Facebook group.
I did.
Who is where do we go? We're looking at big threes, aren't we? You think Kristaps Porzingis is the best, is a quality three option? Do you think he's the best in the league?
I think he's the best in the league at the moment. That's probably where and I wanted to do this activity too for my own sort of mindset to see, you know, what other people have got in the league. And look, there's definitely two other teams that I think have extremely honorable mentions, and that is the Clippers.
Yeah.
And the Phoenix Suns, but I would probably lean towards the Celtics just because of the fit in terms of like the three, how they complement each other. I think the thing that's probably the biggest difference is, say, between the Suns and the Clippers and then the Celtics and the Suns is that there's so much overlap with the Clippers and the Suns, whereas with the Celtics, those three just seem to like fit together so nicely. So
that's interesting, because I do think Phoenix, overall skill wise, I think Phoenix's big three are better. Like the third option is Beal is more of a second option in my eyes. So I feel like that's why Phoenix would factor. We've got a few people have weighed in on the Facebook post, which I've just brought up now. Obviously, well, we have Brendan Sharp straight away. Clippers, PG, Kawhi, and Harden. Do you put Harden or Westbrook as the number three? Because it started with Westbrook this year, and it's become Westbrook. Become Harden. Sorry.
So, just going back to what you were saying about Beal, though, but I think it's the thing that differentiates like Boston between Phoenix, because for me, Beal and Booker's skill sets overlap enough, and then the same with KD and Beal, and even to a certain degree, KD and Booker, I would say their skill sets do overlap a little bit. And I think that's, for me, why I'm so high on Porzingis, because he just doesn't get in the way of what Brown and Tatum do. In fact, I'll probably say the opposite.
Well, Brown and Tatum are the overlap, though, there, aren't they? Do you know what I'm like? Beal and Booker are Brown and Tatum, yeah. That's in my eyes, anyway.
Yeah, no.
I see your point, though.
I think
Phoenix's problem, the three of them don't take the court. That's the problem.
Yeah, definitely.
So you never get to see a big three in Phoenix because they rotate one player.
What I did was to try and make this a little bit hubby relevant. You've got the spreadsheet of this too, and I went through and found the last PSA 10 silver sold for the third option player. So, for example, for James Harden, now this is a little bit different for Harden because he's tops chrome. So the refractor numbered to 500, last sold for 2,728.
Sheesh.
Chrome base, which is numbered to 999, last sold for 1,170. And I've pretty much done that for every team. So, righty. So Matthew Hull also, he contributed. He mentioned that Boston was his choice. Now, we've already done Jaylen Brown. He suggested Porzingis. We've already done Porzingis today. He was at 180, his last sold. Matthew Yuga, frankly, he cheated. He said the Houston Rockets. And for his one and two, he said Alperen Şengün. And then his third, he said Dylan Brooks. And look, I'm going to go along with your joke, Matty. I won't like poo-poo you here, but Dylan Brooks is not on card ladder. And you better be listening to this, Matthew Yuga. He's not on card ladder for a reason, okay, mate? Dylan Brooks sucks, okay? So I had to go into 130 point. His optic number to 199. He doesn't have a Prism rookie card. PSA 9, last sold for 33 USD.
All class, show, all class, Aiden, Dylan Brooks.
Aiden also cheated. He just said a 1 and 2 option, and then he said you can alternate between Drew Holiday and Porzingis. Joe Dennison said the Lakers. He said LeBron, AD, and D'Angelo Russell. His silver PSA 10 rookie last sold for 75.
Mm.
This is a really interesting one, actually. The pop on that is 78. So slightly curious on that, actually. Like, I think the price on that is low enough that it's kind of, you know, doable. You could have a bit of a swing on it. But I would also say, too, look, I'm pretty sure he's going to be traded imminently. I think his hobby value will probably decrease if he does leave the Lakers. So that's a bit of a tricky one. Now, this next one is really for you, Adam, but this is from Jono Michaels. He very cheekily said, Anthony Davis first, Austin Reeves second, and LeBron third. And look, I think just for the sake of the activity, this is kind of a fun one. So
LeBron's a great third option.
His chrome refractor silver PSA 10 last sold for $26,710. So really interesting. I think this is fun, you know, looking at the different values. I think for me also this activity sort of lets you map out in your head, you know, where players can go. So, you know, maybe like the most interesting one so far for me is the James Harden one. Like, would you have expected his prices to be so high, even on like a chrome, his base card, which is numbered to 999? I'll admit that, but
Harden's an interesting one.
1,100. Yeah.
I feel like Harden, recently we know about what, we know Brooklyn James Harden, we know Philly James Harden, you know, the Clippers, James Harden. I don't know if it's been long enough now that we're starting to forget how good Houston James Harden was.
He's a freak. He
like
changed the
MVP
way that
level James Harden was. There was a time there where this man was incredibly hobby relevant and did get a bit of a following. So it doesn't surprise me that his rookie holds value. I think he is going to be one of those first ballot Hall of Fame players. Maybe second, who knows? But like, I think we forget how good he was at the peak of his powers because, and I'll go back to something I say a lot, the lack of success in Houston. If James Harden had brought a championship to Houston when he was with Dwight Howard, say, are we talking differently about James Harden today if that happens?
I think the price of his rookies would be probably double if he had a one, yeah. Particularly with that Dwight Howard roster. That was like probably not, maybe not even the best roster he had in Houston. But
yeah,
to answer your question, I think there's not that many players in league history that they had to change the rules for because of that player. So I think
correct.
Wilt Chamberlain was one. They extended the key.
I remember. Well, I know. Yeah. But the fouling, yeah, the Harden.
I feel like
it is. He shaped the game. I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing the way he did it, what he became renowned for, but
Jordan played in an era where, no, they didn't really change the rules for Jordan, though, did they? I was going to say, I feel like they changed something because of Jordan, Shaq, but no, they didn't. But then, yeah, well, the back down rule was changed because of Barkley, and then, you know, the hands rule, like you just pointed out, you know, was changed because of James Harden. So it's a very short list. I think, you know, and he won't be forgotten for that. The funny thing for me is I feel like the court of public opinion of James Harden isn't fantastic. So when when I see those prices, it really makes me a little bit surprised. So, yeah, fun activity. All right, so these next few, we can do them or not. And why don't we just take turns at picking teams to talk about. I'm going to kick this off, though. I'm going to start with the Kings. So Fox number one, Sabonis number two, King and Murray number three, right? So this is actually a bit of an interesting one and also topical at the moment. So his last silver PSA 10 sold for $95. I'm totally fine with that. Now, he's not on card ladder, so I had to pull this data from a couple of different places, but I want to point this out. He has 233 total gems. Now, I got that from obviously our friend Ryan at Gemrate, and I actually had to pull this from his frequently asked questions. Gems include PSA 10, or Beckett 9.5 and 10 and Black Label, SGC 10 and Pristine, CGC 10, plus Legacy 9.5 gem mints, Pristine and Perfect. So I didn't really understand how he had so many gems, but that makes sense because now Ryan is adding all of the data together to give you that sort of, you know, total.
The complete look.
Look, maybe this is something I need to pick Ryan's brain a little bit more about. Look, to be honest, I'm happy with the 95 PSA 10s. That's probably enough in my mind to sort of to move forward. Anyway, look, so Keegan Murray, I've got something up here. He recently had an amazing game. 47 points, 16 of 23 shooting, 12 of 15 from the three-point line. And at one point, he hit 11 in a row. Steph Curry was playing at the same time that their game was going on, and Steph was told in his press conference afterwards, and his response is actually amazing. So go online and find that. He's just a genuinely nice guy, Steph Curry. You can't like be mad at this guy.
I'm looking at the article now. Just the look on Steph's face is priceless. He's like, what? He did what now?
And he was happy for him too. You know, I think that's the other cool thing.
I think Curry is one of those advocates of the game more than anything. Like, he celebrates success of everybody.
Yeah. Like healthy, 8 rebounds, 2 assists, game. 2 steals, and plus 33 in 36 minutes. So, look, I think you sort of know where I'm going with this. I think I was a little bit undercooked on Keegan Murray just because he came out of the league quite old. But then you know, the flip side of that is that he has a lot more success earlier on. And I think I think the two things for me with this guy is like, will he be able to defend in the league? You know, the answer is yes.
Yep.
Will he be able to have enough off the dribble game to complement his 3-point shooting? I think the answer is also now becoming yes. And then the third question is will Keegan Murray survive in this league as his career goes on? And I think this is for me where, this really puts the icing on the cake for me, you know, whether this guy's a buy or not. The answer is yes. It's because I think he's playing this 3 at the moment. He can get old and start to play the 4, you know, fill out a little bit more, and then he gets a bit more immobile. He might even play a little bit of 5. Remember, like, Sam Perkins? Look at Sam Perkins' footage when he was, like, a young buck and he's, like, playing the 3, and then at the end of his career with the Pacers, he's, like, this old dude. You can't tell me it's that Keegan Murray couldn't do that. Yeah, so.
Yeah, very, very, very much so. Yeah.
I don't think the only caveat I'll put to this is Keegan Murray is, like, softly spoken, he's not going to be doing a whole lot of highlight reels. I don't think this is going to be like a Josh Farrugia type, you know, purchase or card. I think this is more like a slow burn. So, you know, bear with me while I'm frothing over this guy. I'd also say, you know, tread a little bit carefully. So,
let's go to OKC. I can't be, is that Giddy as the number 3?
Yeah. Did you say Giggity or did you say Giddy?
Giddy. I said Giddy. Your internet's terrible today.
That's a Family Guy joke, man.
Oh, giggity, giggity. I mean, we've spoken a lot about Giddy. Let's move to someone that's a bit more successful then. Let's go to the Nuggets.
Come back to OKC. That's actually interesting. So don't skip over that because look at the price. So
PSA last sold.
So $77, and that's down 71%. So I think the last... So I think the last couple of weeks I've been like, this dude is a stay away, but there also becomes a point where it's like,
is below $100 for a Giddy Silver Prism just too good to pass up?
Pass up, that's right. You know, look, I think a couple of years ago people were having this conversation with Kyrie Irving, right? Like, you know, he fell literally off the face of the flat earth.
That's what happens when you turn the earth flat, you just fall off the edge, right?
Yeah, but, like, you know, about $2,000 came off his cards, you know? It's like, well, is this now a good time to, you know, grab a couple of these cards? Because
77 US for a Giddy PSA 10, I would call that a buy.
Yeah, and probably that's where I'm at too. And look, seems like all of this is going to go away too with him. Like,
as a long-term thing.
So...
It's an interesting one.
Sorry, I hijacked your choice then, but please choose another one.
I was going to say one that's standing out to me is Aaron Gordon for the Nuggets.
Cool, let's do that.
Last sold 138, pop count of 37. So,
correct.
Interesting, low pop count. But these third options do have low pop counts because they're not the superstar of the team. I don't know. How is history going to view Aaron Gordon?
Also, too, like, if you're looking through that list there, part of that also, too, is, like, the year that they were drafted. Like, these guys are sort of 2017-18 when, you know.
Yeah.
And yes, you're right. It's also to do with, like, the player themselves.
I think it's interesting because I did mention a couple of times the Phoenix Suns. Bradley Beal last sold for 630 with a pop count of 30.
Look at all that.
Is that a buy or a sell for you? That's a sell for me.
That's an absolute stay away for me. And yeah, or sell. Yeah.
Sell. Like, if you've got one, move it. Because No offense to Phoenix, but you can't have a big three if only two of your players play every time. It's like they're load managing on a rotation there with injuries. But
unless Bradley Beal wins a championship in Phoenix, I have the suspicion he's going to end his career as just, you know, a big-time gunner and point scorer and really not going to be doing very much other than that.
So, yeah, that's an interesting one.
I wouldn't mind. Yeah, one I wouldn't mind to talk about off this list too was the Bucks. So Giannis is one, Lillard is number two, and then putting Middleton to number three. And his last silver piece at 10 sold for $480, and the pop on that is 26. And I think that one's a really interesting one because, you know, it depends when you bought that. Like, you could have got that. I reckon these would have sold for $20 at one point.
Mm.
And so, you know, if you have that sort of foresight to, you know, to jump on and get them, probably my thing about this guy now is that probably sell for me at $480 because it's not that far away from Edwards at the moment. And I think he probably has, you know, better long-term potential, and it's not that far away from Tatum at the moment. And then you could buy, what, two or three Jaylen Browns, which is probably an even par of a prospect or a player, and, you know, you're sort of crippling your card hold for that. So I've got a lot of respect for Middleton. I love his game. I love the way he approaches, you know, life and the NBA. Like, you know, please don't, you know, misconstrue that.
I definitely think there's a difference between our respect for his game and his hobby presence. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Nice.
Can I do one more? Is that okay?
Go for it.
Cool. All right. So this next one is a little bit of, again, like a thought project for me. So Orlando Magic, Banchero, number one with the bullet. I'm just high as a kite with this guy at the moment. Wagner, two. And then on paper, I think it's number three. And I think I've had a fair bit of conversation on the show about this guy. I've sort of either been hinting at it or I've been talking about it. You know, I think Fulton's, you know, a good buy. And look, I think my thought around this guy has changed a little bit. You know, he's injured again. You know, the team's playing well without him. So, you know, that really makes me maybe unsettled is not the right word, but it takes my confidence away from this guy, you know, a lot. Yeah. And I've sort of given up on him, you know, inside. I'm sort of a bit like, I don't really expect anything more from this guy. I think his prices are probably going to be what they're going to be. And, you know, if you do get a kick out of him in the future, like, you know, well done, you know, you've sort of done it. But you know what I mean? Like, I just think
it's not.
He's almost
a
stay. He's just a stay away now. But there is two that I want to really quickly talk about, right? And these are deep cuts. These are deep cuts. But Jet Howard, drafted in the first round this year. He's only averaging 4.3 minutes a game, so he's not getting a lot of time. But I think he is Chris Middleton type player where he could become something, you know, really fantastic in the league. Going back to the NBA draft.net, I remember reading this at the time. They gave him 9 out of 10 on his jump shot. I went back and double-checked that. My memory was correct on that.
Interesting.
Other one that was kind of interesting too for the Magic, I don't think he's going to probably have the same amount of potential, but Anthony Black, he's currently playing 24 minutes a game, and he's the opposite of Jet Howard, where he's like, his game is ready for the NBA, but his jump shot is probably just not quite there. So
not quite, you know, in,
you can go in two ways with the Magic, right? If you want to prospect the moment, you go with Jet Howard, someone who's got the free ball already, and then the rest of his game just needs to catch up. Or do you go with Anthony Black? You know, picking these cards, I think he's going to come out in the secondary market for $5 or $10 a piece for a silver prism, right?
It's literally pocket change, right? Yeah.
Yeah, this is pocket change stuff, but I think these two are kind of interesting to talk about. Probably in my mind, though, I'm much higher on Jet Howard, so this is like a fun one to finish off the segment with. Yeah,
for sure. I was looking at the run sheet. Do we want to go through some quick hitters and then finish up with some Christmas stories, some Russell's adventures? Because I'm looking at, well, where are we? Where are the quick hitters?
I think if we make a long show today, it's not the worst thing in the world because people can listen on the travel.
It's going to be Christmas. One of these in particular might be a bit deeper than just a quick hitter. All right. Which one do you want to cover next? Do we want to go through your holiday adventures?
Let's do it. So I've got a couple of holiday tales. We went to the Hall of Fame. So we're currently in Boston. We hired a car and we drove out to Springfield or Binghamton, whichever you want to call it. It was a really nice day. I think they'd done a really good job of recognizing international players, female women's contributions to the game. I think they did a really good job of that. Mm-hmm. Memorabilia, they had interactive games for the kids to play. So, look, the kids were happy just awesome. Playing the touch screens while I was looking and stuff. They had a whole section dedicated to Kobe and the movie that he made about his retirement.
Yeah.
And then they also gave packets of cards to the kids. So I'll do a bit of a post on this, but they actually gave out 2023 Basketball Hall of Fame sealed packs from Panini. So I got two packs. I just took them off the kids. Kids aren't having them. I'm keeping them. I've opened one pack. They're just like base, like Donruss sort of base cards, but pretty cool.
Wow. Okay. That's still pretty cool.
On the way home, we went down to Abington and we went to Bleacher's card store. They had some singles there,
okay.
A little bit of steel. I bought a select blaster and some singles. Probably the best single I got was a Caitlin Clark Bowman's first rookie card, a pink one. So I'm pretty happy about that.
Okay.
And then I finally found a Target that was well stocked with retail stuff. So, and they had an absolute amazing bargain on. They had the Prism hanger packs for $8 US packet, and they're normally. They were half price. So I grabbed a whole bunch of those. They had some blasters there for 20 USD. They had some select blasters. And I just felt fantastic because I've actually been to, this is my second trip to America, and I've been to probably 10 or 15 different Targets and Walmarts. This is only the second one where I've seen proper amounts of stock.
Abundant levels of stock.
I wouldn't even call it abundant, but like I still haven't hit that mecca of this shop where it's like the whole, you know, aisle is just filled up with stock. I've never seen one of those, but you know, it was enough that I was sort of embarrassed to say it, but I was really excited. I was like, oh, this is fantastic, you know. It's not great going through the checkouts anyway, so I'm gonna just take my time and, you know, rip that over the next couple of months. It was
awesome.
It was very exciting. So
delightful.
Damaged One of Ones is next in the run sheet. So
yes,
keen to talk to you about this because I think that this is interesting. So two different One of One product hits were just pulled in bad condition. This Chet Holmgren One of One rookie had terrible surface issues. That is from Hoops.
Yeah.
While the Bronny James One of One Super Refractor, which is from Topps. Hoops is Panini and Topps is friends with Fanatics is completely off-centered. Could manufacturers offer a replacement program for high-end cards that are factory-damaged? Adam, where are you with this?
Oh, boy. This is a rabbit hole. We talked about having a long episode. We could probably dedicate an episode to ways to fix this, opinions, and look, I like the concept of getting a replacement, but I think it does take away from the fact that it's the only one in existence. It's not a true one of one if you get a replacement one of one. Do you know what I mean? Like, I get that it's damaged and I get it's terrible that it's off center. I just think, I think the solution, and this is just my personal opinion, is to have a separate way of grading one of ones. So slab a one of one. And you know how you authenticate an autograph?
Yes.
Authentic one of one. That's the only information you need.
You can't do that now, though. You just send it off for authentication.
Can you just say this is an authentic one of one? But that's – why would you want it graded? Why would you – what – I get it. I don't want to scratch on my cards. I don't want my card to be off-center. But it's also the only one in existence. So fundamentally – if it's the only one, it's the best version of it. It's also the worst, but that's not the point. But I'm saying it's a one of one. Replacing a one of one is saying we're going to make another one. So it's one of two. I don't know. I struggle with that. I think authenticating it. I think the quality control needs to be a lot better for one of ones to start with. But what are you going to do? Like, what are you really? I think there's too much focus on the condition of the card. I think the importance of the fact that it's the only one made, that's the important factor about that card. That's what makes that card so special and so rare, is it is a one of one. This is it. Anyway, that's there. Yeah, that's my thought on it. You're right. You can just get it authenticated, but maybe they do. They call it a one-on-one authentication, and maybe they offer some level of cleaning or some not altering, but I don't know. How do you protect those cards? Do you make one-of-ones redemptions?
They're doing that in a Topps product coming up. They're calling it the white glove service, and mm-hmm. that's exactly what they're doing. And then they also, part of it, they'll send it off to PSA, BGS, or SGC on your behalf, and that's all like part of
hitting I think it should come slabbed as a one-of-one.
Yeah, I think the problem with that, you know, people weighing packs and handling packs, even boxes, that would change like the weights.
A pack of cards with a slab in it would be interesting. But does the redemption card just weigh the same as a normal insert? You know what I mean? Like,
I've not actually weighed and compared them, but I reckon a redemption probably weigh about the same as a regular card, maybe a little bit less. They're, I suppose, they're a little bit thin depending on the card type. Just really quickly, that is from Twitter at Eric Whiteback. And my response to this is, there is currently a replacement program in existence, and you can send your cards in. And the reason why that they can actually replace them is because they always print extras off. And so,
they print an extra of a one of one.
I don't exactly know all the logistics, but I believe that they do. And so, what I was going to say is, for an example, for a number to 25, they'll always print 27 of them. And then when you send in your card, they, you know, they switch it over basically. So but
foil stamp the same number on it?
That I'm not sure about either. But I can tell you this though: sometimes you can send cards into them that you believe are factory damage, and they'll return them back to you and say, you know, that's part of the card. So there is some consideration to be. For example, this is the easy one to remember: is when athletes are signing the cards, you would expect them to have more wear and tear on them, or, you know, some corner damage, some edge damage, because, you know, they have been handled, you know, more than regular, you know, being shipped in and out and then signed by the players.
And players don't really give a fat rats when they're signing cards. Like, some of them might, but they're like, I'm signing hundreds of cards. We're not going to have our white gloves on for that.
I think you answered the question explicitly, and I technically haven't done that yet. So would this devalue the card as it's not technically pulled anymore? So look, I don't think it does devalue it. And so for these two cards, I would say the Chet Holmgren should be replaced, because I think that to me is like, obviously something mechanical is, you know, being dragged over that. So I think that should be replaced. The Bronny James though, I think that should stay as is. And if that was sent in for replacement, it just gets sent back saying, you know, that's the normal, you know, variation that you would expect from, you know, printing.
Quality control allow a certain amount of centering to be, yeah.
I think that to me, those two cards are two different types of damage. So, alrighty, I kind of put this next one in view of the Anthony Davis thing, but also too, it's a little bit relevant because we're talking about Anthony Davis the last couple of shows. So this is from our friends Card Ladder. They do this beautiful comparison. So Anthony Davis, number to 10, BGS 9.5, gold rookie, sold for $13,250. Victor Wembanyama, gold prism draft. So this is the non-pro uniforms, sold for $12,500. And look, this is really interesting for me because I think this type of sale really is good for the prism draft set, where I think traditionally people, you know, disregarded it and, you know, and really not put much money into it, which is fine.
Yeah.
It's great for me. It's been a very accessible set for me and I've enjoyed it. But, you know, this is more money than we've ever seen out of this product, you know, on the
market.
So I'm very excited for this, to be perfectly honest with you.
Which one would you buy?
Yeah. So look, like, being brutally honest, I still think the same trend is going to occur, is that Prism Draft comes out, the prices are high, and then the Pro stuff comes out, then the Prism Draft stuff drops down. So I think just by using that rationale, you know, the Anthony Davis is a really, really good buy. And we kind of spoke about that last week, that he's a little bit undervalued and, you know, there wasn't very much hobby love for the guy.
Yeah.
So, yeah. How about yourself?
Yeah, I'm erring on the side of caution with I'd go AD. I think he's established, and I think that price for an AD rookie is good value. Interesting looking the sale prices and the card ladder values in the image. Card ladder value is $12,357 for the AD, and the card ladder value for the Wemby was $9,878.
Softer got a value of $9,000, nearly $10,000. Frankly, like that is unheard of in that product.
Mm. Yeah. But Wemby is very different. If he is as generational or game changing, if he's the next coming of LeBron, like a LeBron, a Steph, a Jokic level performer. I mean, that's yet to be seen. It's year one, right? He's 20-something games into his career. AD is established. The man's played for over a decade. So, yeah, it's very interesting to players. But I would take the AD. I think the AD. A lot of the stone has been chiseled. Yeah, the stone is being chiseled on AD's career. His stats are what they are, and there are some phenomenal ones there. So, but yeah, crazy good to see. Prism fast break.
So that Prism draft product is, for me, that's such a gamble, right? It's a gamble on so many levels. You're gambling on the product that people are going to value it into the future. Mm. You're gambling on Wembanyama. And then, like, I just feel
it's
like...
a gamble on a gamble on a gamble.
Yeah, you know, I've said this before, like, where you buy a card and you intend to flip it and then you get stuck with it. And then it's like, well, I hope you like that card because no one's going to give you 100% of that back at any point.
In the back of my mind, I'm like, well, so in the comparison, the Anthony Davis isn't wearing the uniform I want him to be wearing anyway. So him and Wemby in that situation.
Alrighty. So this next one, this is actually because the last 2 weeks I've spoken about this card, but I didn't have the values on hand and I couldn't find the link. Anyway, I found it a couple of days ago. So I'm going to talk about this card again.
Go for it.
Tyrese Halliburton, Gold Prism number 10, PSA 9, last sold for $6,693. LeBron James, 2003 SP Authentic on-card autograph PSA 8, sold for $6,954. Mm-hmm. I've already put my line in the sand on this. I'm going with LeBron, but I just wanted to actually get the numbers out to the people because I've talked about it and I've not actually put the numbers out there.
Is there actually a question here? Because I'm going the LeBron, even though Card Ladder reckons the Halliburton's worth $10,000.
Yeah, interesting, right? All right, now this is the one I do have a question for you for. Chet Holmgren, Optic Gold Vinyl 1 of 1, PSA 8, last sold for $31,110. Buy, hold, or sell for you, Mr.
Can I make a joke first? Can I make a joke first?
You can make it.
What do you reckon the PSA 10's worth? Oh, wait. There are no PSA 9s double. Or 10s because it's a one of one.
At least double.
At least double. Do we regrade it with BGS, then regrade it again to try and get a 10? God, there's another rabbit hole. Do you regrade a card if it gets a shitty grade?
So Ryan spoke about that on the podcast. People do that. And
yeah.
He was saying that
crack it open, clean it up.
Of a card. Yeah, that a card that's
go to one of those. Go to one of those websites.
Times.
Get their trimmers out. Goodness, one of one.
Come on, let's go.
What are we doing? What are we doing? Is that on card?
Yes,
it's 31K. 31K. I'm selling. I'm selling. There's a lot more things I would spend 30 grand on.
Yeah, I got to say, like you could get a really nice LeBron for that.
Kobe's, LeBron's, Curry's. Look, Chet might be the second coming again. Who knows? But I would sell that for something concrete.
You know how we were talking off air about how we're the old men in the room and we don't understand words and
where
we have
the line
to look
is?
Them up in urban dictionary, right? So
yep.
Just let's be devil's advocate. So we both agree that this is a sell, right? But let's just try and make the argument. This is, why is this a buy?
Because in 20 years, when everybody's forgotten about Jordan, by the way, that will never happen. But in 20 years, when Chet Holmgren is the greatest basketballer of all time, that card will be worth $750,000. I'm kidding, by the way. You know, I'm exaggerating to an extent, you know, but what happens if Chet's like four-time MVP? Like, his career's yet to be told. We don't know. He also could pick it out of a $20 bargain bin. Who knows?
So you could, for cheaper than that, you could buy a LeBron James refractor PSA 10 for $26,710 and still have some change.
And I'd go buy a couple of Kobe autos to go with it.
Yeah, right.
Because I reckon that LeBron chrome refractor in 20 years is a $100,000 card at least. Do you know what I mean? Like, we know the story of LeBron James. And I think there's going to be a generation of people that speak of Steph and LeBron the way that old people like us speak of Jordan. So that's why it's. But who says that there's not a bunch of 8-year-olds that are going to grow up in a world of Chet?
Look, I'm scratching my head at the moment, literally, because I'm just a bit flexed about how high that went for. I think that, for me, that's, to be honest, I think that might even be like 20K too high.
Yeah. Is this Varuja factor at its finest? Because Chet's killing it this year.
He's really exciting this year.
So, yeah. Amazing what someone that's trigger happy that wants to win an auction does.
100%. Hey, man, I think the last thing we should do is say thanks. So we were today, on NBA Marketplace Australia. Ben, who's the admin there, put up a post completely unannounced for us, and just to say, if you haven't heard about us, you know, here. So look, guys, I would like to say to Ben, thank you so much for doing that for us. I am blown away. I'm flattered. And I just wanted to say, you know, thank you for that. I think, you know, the segue here, Ed, is to maybe we could do our Christmas thank yous. You know, what are you grateful for having this year? And maybe we could sign off tonight's show.
Yeah, that sounds great. Yeah, huge, huge thanks to Ben for the shout out on the marketplace site. Really appreciate all the support from people in the hobby, especially in Australia, of course. It's nice to have people around the world listen to the show. But yeah, without the listeners
listening, I think
that's the roadshow that you're doing now when you're going to shops and advertise. It's the promotional tour. It's a bit low key.
2 weeks at a time. Yeah.
We'll do a joint one sometime soon. We'll go around the States and just do the You Can't Comp This roadshow. Once ESPN picks us up.
Yeah, I was going to say we might need a sponsor, I think.
But yeah, we'll reach out to ESPN, see if they want to compete with the Ringer. Look, I'm grateful as far as the show goes. Thank you. For another fantastic year, Russell. This is a lot of fun. I love doing this. This is a great experience, and it really encapsulates what I feel is such a great community we've got. And just seeing stuff like this from Ben, it's humbling. It's just like, oh, I feel really privileged to be part of such an amazing community. Personally, I've had a sort of roller coaster year. But it's nice to have some good people around, like yourself, like my other friends, like this hobby, the community. I picked up some cool cards. I got my first Kaboom. We did our first live show at the Hobby Hangout. That was awesome. It's been a really, really good year. And, just thankful that we're able to do this and put this on every week. And appreciate all the support from all those that listen week in and week out. And Merry Christmas across the pond to our friends in New Zealand, the Card Codex boys, all of our guests. Really, we've probably got to get start getting a few repeats happening. But yeah, we've had some amazing guests.
It's time of year to start looking at next year, isn't it? Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, some awesome buffs. Anyway, I could waffle on and go about how grateful and thankful I am. But yeah, thanks everybody for listening. This is a huge, huge part of my life as far as as far as enjoyment goes, and I get a lot out of this. This is like therapy for me. So it's good. My card therapy for the week.
Well, I'll say thank you for the kind words of what you said to me. I think that's really lovely. And it's actually really good to hear you say that you do enjoy it, because that gives me a lot of comfort, actually. So that's really good. So yeah. I'm glad you enjoy it. And I think just going on from what you were saying too, this is now just like a part of my life and a part of my routine. It's just sort of something I just chip away at almost every day now. So I really enjoy this. And I think when you're talking about the community aspect of it too, I definitely enjoy that sort of interaction and the people contributing us. I find that like very, I really enjoy that aspect of it too. And I think, obviously, so we're talking about the people who listen to the show, the people who, you know, support us and, you know, sponsor us. So we've got Slambox at the moment, we've got Bangman, EJ Cards who have supported us from when, you know, we had 25 listens a week to now we're up to 250, 300 a week. You know, it's 10x'd in that time. So, you know, I think I'm definitely grateful for those boys. And then you touched on personal. I'd probably say for me, just like, my lovely wife is always very supportive of my endeavors of card activities, which, you know, makes things so much easier for me, because it's never a pressure or a pain point for our relationship or anything like that. She's very good like that. And then hopefully the kids will listen to a podcast one day. That would be good, like, personally for me.
Yeah.
They don't want to listen to this nonsense.
Well, wait until they're requesting Pokemon. We do Pokemon cards for a week. And you'll have the kids on.
please no. Anyway, I think on that note, have a happy holiday, everybody. That's my new favorite phrase. Not Merry Christmas, Happy Holiday.
Enjoy the festive season. Have a fantastic holiday period. Be safe. Hoping for a white Christmas for you, and I'm hoping for a very sunny Christmas for me. So,
on the Barbie. Alrighty, guys.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks a lot.
We'll see you all next year, I guess. Maybe. Can we squeeze one in before the new year? We'll see how we go.
We'll see how we go. Yeah.
All right. Stay safe, everyone.
Happy holidays.